Just the way Jem is translating, Joaquin explained. I mean, your speech is good too, very stern. It makes me want to do everything you say. And Jem is basically repeating it, but it's the way he puts things, you know? It's beautiful.
Uh-huh, Alex said. Joaquin grabbed his free hand.
You be the new head of the Institute.
No, I will not, Alex snapped. People were always trying to make him head of institutes, and it made Alec tired. He couldn't change enough if he took that kind of position. He had more important things to do.
No, repeated Alec, less grouchily but no less firmly.
I'm not Clive Breakspear. I'm here to help you, not to take over. When you saw what was happening, you told your men to stand down. You should act as the head of your own institute until the consul can consider your case.
Joaquin stood amazed. Alec nodded at him.
You can work with the shadow market to rebuild, he said. I can provide you with resources.
So can I, said Juliet.
Joaquin stared at her, then swung his head back to Alec.
The queen of the shadow market, said Alec.
Do you think you will be able to cooperate with her?
Juliet gave Joaquin a hostile look. There was still a suggestion of wolfish teeth in her mouth. Joaquin reached out as if to point to the blood on Juliet's hands, and Alec wondered for a nasty moment if the hatred between the Nephilim and the Downworlders in this place ran too deep.
Joaquin lifted Juliet's hand to his lips and kissed it.
I did not know, he breathed, that the queen of the Shadow Market was so beautiful.
Alec realized abruptly that he'd got everything wrong. Juliet mouthed several shocked demands for explanation and several more French expletives at Alec over Joaquin's bowed head.
Shadow hunters go so hard, Lily cackled.
Okay, fine. Glad we're all entering into the spirit of cooperation, said Alec and turned back to the crowd. This Nephilim child is now under the protection of the New York Institute, he said. Let's say this was a very standard and normal adoption. Let's say that though the head of your institute was corrupt, you survived under a bad leader and kept your honor. You hold Breakspear here until he can be tried. I will, of course, be returning here often to finalize details of the adoption, and I'll see what is happening. I want to believe in my fellow shadow hunters. Don't let me down. He had no doubt Jem would make that sound better in Spanish. He turned back to Juliet, who had succeeded with difficulty in freeing her hand, and was retreating several steps under Joaquin's rapt gaze.
I should be getting back to my kids, she said, gesturing to the three kids.
Rosie gave Alec a little wave.
Oh,
said Joaquin, a world of devastation in the syllable. Then he seemed to notice the lack of anyone else with the kids.
Has it been very difficult, ruling the shadow market as a single mother? He asked, with sudden transparent hope.
Well, none of this has exactly been easy, said Juliet.
Joaquin beamed at her.
That's wonderful.
What? Said Juliet.
Joaquin was already heading toward the kids, on an obvious mission to endear himself to them. Alec hoped he had a lot of candies. Juliet demanded,
Did he inhale a lot of smoke in there?
Probably, said Alec.
Shadow hunters get very set on things, said Lily.
Very set. Do you enjoy intensely serious romantic commitment?
I don't know his name,
Juliet pointed out. She sneaked a self-conscious look over at Joaquin, whose endearing of himself seemed to be going very well. He had Juliet's warlock boy up on his shoulders.
His name's Joaquin, Alec said helpfully.
Juliet smiled.
I suppose I do like some shadow hunters. It's always a pleasure, Alec Lightwood. Thanks for everything.
It was nothing, said Alec. Juliet strolled over to her kids, calling out to them to stop bothering the head of the institute. Alec looked around at the smoke drifting up to the stars, and the people in the streets all talking to each other without barriers. His eyes fell on Tessa and Jem.
Is it time to go home? Tessa asked.
Alec bit his lip, then nodded. I'll text Magnus and ask him to open a portal. There was an official protocol for adopting Shadowhunter children. He knew that he and Raphael would have to go back and forth from Buenos Aires several times, but this trip home would be worth it, even if it did not last long.
Alec wanted to take Raphael home as soon as he could. He was tired, and he wanted to sleep in his own bed.
"I don't suppose you have any ideas for how I can explain all this to Magnus?" he asked Jem.
"I think you'll find all the words you need, Alec," said Jem.
"Thanks, that's very helpful," Jem smiled.
"You even found a way to make a boy who doesn't like anybody like you. Thanks for all your help, Alec."
Alec wished he could help more, but he knew that at least for now he had done his part. They all had to trust each other, and he did trust his friends. If there was a Herondale in danger, they could not ask for better protection than Jem and Tessa.
"I didn't do much, but it was good to see you both. Good luck with the Herondale."
Jem nodded.
"Thank you. I think we might need it."
The portal was open and shimmering.
"Bye, Jem," said Lily.
"Oh, no nickname?" Jem sounded pleased.
"Bye, Lily."
Alec studied Rafe's face.
"Do you like me?" he asked.
Rafe beamed and shook his head, then secured his arms more tightly around Alec's neck.
"Oh, fine, that you understand," Alec grumbled.
"Come on, let's go home."
They stepped out of the portal into the electric starriness of a New York night. Alec could see his apartment down the street, the shimmer of a witch light behind pale blue curtains. He checked his watch. It was past Max's bedtime. Max fought bedtime like it was a demon, so Magnus was probably reading him a fifth story or singing him a third song. Every brown and white facade, every tree surrounded by wire on the cracked sidewalk, was dear to him. Alec used to think, when he was younger and felt as if he might die amid the crushing expectations and stone walls of the Institute, that he might feel better if he could live among the glass towers of Alicante. He hadn't known home was across the city waiting for him. He set Rafe on the steps of their apartment building and hopped him up one step, then swung him up another for sheer joy. He opened the door to home.
"Alec," boomed a voice behind him.
Alec jumped. Lily swiftly thrust Raphael behind the protection of Alec's front door and spun, lip curling from her needle-sharp teeth. Alec turned as well, very slowly. He wasn't scared. He knew that voice.
"Alec," said Robert Lightwood. "We need to talk."
"Okay, Dad," said Alec.
"Lily, I need to explain everything to Magnus, so could you watch Rafe for a second?" Lily nodded, still giving Robert the evil eye. There was a pause.
"Hello, Lily," Robert added gruffly.
"Who the hell are you?"
asked Lily.
"My dad," said Alec. "The Inquisitor. The second most important person in the Clave. Someone you have met at least 26 times.
"I don't recall," said Lily.
Alec's incredulous look was mirrored on his father's face.
"Lily," said Robert, "I know you know me."
"Never gonna, don't wanna."
Lily shut the door of Alec's apartment building in his father's face. There was an awkward silence.
"Sorry about that," said Alec finally.
"All your other vampires like me," muttered Robert.
Alec blinked.
"My other vampires?"
"Your friend Elliot reaches out whenever Lily leaves him in charge," explained Robert. "He says he feels in need of Lightwood guidance. I visited the Hotel du Mort while you were away, and the vampires had a little dinner laid on just for me. And they all talked to me about you. Elliot gave me his phone number. I presume so I can call him in case of emergencies. Elliot's always charming to me."
Alec didn't know how to break it to his dad that Elliot was shamelessly hitting on him.
"Huh," said Alec.
"How is Magnus? Doing well? Dressing, uniquely?"
"Still gorgeous," said Alec defiantly.
"Yeah."
His father looked abashed. Alec wasn't comfortable talking about how he felt, but he wasn't ashamed, and nobody was going to make him be ashamed ever again. He didn't know why his father never stopped poking at him, with the obsessive curiosity of a child poking at a scab. When he was younger, his dad used to joke insistently about Alec and girls. It was too painful to respond to those comments. Alec talked less and less. He remembered the day he walked out of the Institute to find Magnus. He had met Magnus twice and couldn't forget him. The Institute lay behind him, its stark outlines cutting the sky. He had been breathless and terrified, with one thought very clear in his mind. Is this how you want to live your whole life? Then he'd gone to Magnus's place and asked him out. Alec couldn't bear the idea of one of his kids ever feeling trapped in their own home. He knew his dad hadn't meant to do that, but he had. How's my little M&M? Asked Robert. Max's middle name was Michael, after Robert's long-dead parabatai. Usually that was Alec's cue to take out his phone and show his dad all the new pictures of Max he possessed, but he was in a hurry today. He's the best, Alec said. Is there something you need, Dad? I heard some rumors about the Buenos Aires Institute, said Robert. I heard you were there. Right, said Alec. Clive Breakspear, the head of the Institute, had his shadow hunters acting as mercenaries. They'll need to stand trial, but I encouraged a change in leadership. The Buenos Aires Institute is going to be all right. This is why I needed to talk to you, Alec, said Robert. Alec studied the cracks in the sidewalk and tried to think of a way to explain everything that would implicate nobody else. Do you know the positions of consul and inquisitor often stay within the same families? I've been thinking about what happens when the time comes for me to retire. Alec stared at a weed growing through the cracks in the sidewalk. I don't think Jace wants to be inquisitor, Dad. Alec, said Robert, I'm not talking to Jace. I'm talking to you. Alec jolted. What? He looked up from the sidewalk. His father was smiling at him as if he meant it. Alec remembered his own words. The Inquisitor, the second most important person in the Clave. Alec allowed himself a moment to dream. Being Inquisitor and having a hand in the making of the law itself. Being able to get Aline and Helen back. Being able to put some sort of dent in the cold peace. Being able, Alec thought with slow dawning hope, to get married. Having his dad believe that Alec could do it. Alec knew his dad loved him, but that wasn't the same as his dad believing in him. He hadn't known that before. I'm not saying it would be easy, said Robert. But several members of the Clave have mentioned it as a possibility. You know how popular you are with downworlders. Not really, mumbled Alec. A few more people in the Clave are coming around, said Robert. I have that tapestry up of you, and I take care to mention your name often. Kira, I thought it was up because you love me. Robert blinked at him, as if he was wounded by the joke. Alec, it is. But I want this for you, too. That's what I came here to ask. Do you want it for yourself? Alec thought of the power to change the law from a sword that hurt people into a shield to defend them. Yeah, said Alec. But you have to be sure you want me to have it, Dad. People won't be happy with me taking it, and once I have it, I'm going to split the Clave apart. You are? Robert asked, his voice faint. Because I have to, said Alec. Because everything has to change, for everybody's sake, and for Magnus and our kids. Robert blinked. You're what? Oh, by the angel, said Alec. Please don't ask me any questions. I have to go. I have to talk to Magnus right away. Robert said, I am very confused. I really have to go, said Alec. Thanks, Dad. I mean it. Come for dinner again soon, all right? We'll talk more about the Inquisitor thing then. All right, said Robert. I'd like that. When I had dinner with you three a few weeks ago, I don't remember the last time I had such a happy day. Alec remembered how difficult it had been during Robert's visit to keep the conversation going, how only Max prattling at his grandpa's knee had broken the frequent silences. It broke Alec's heart to think Robert had thought of that strained, awkward dinner as happiness. Come over any time, said Alec. Max loves seeing his grandpa, and thank you, Dad. Thanks for believing in me. Sorry if I caused you a lot of paperwork tonight. You saved lives tonight, Alec, said Robert. He took an awkward step toward Alec, and his hand lifted as if he was going to pat Alec on the shoulder. Then his hand dropped. He looked into Alec's face, and his eyes were so sad. You're a good man, Alec, he said at last. You're a better man than I am. Alec loved his father and would never be cruel to him, so he didn't say, I had to be. Instead, he reached out and pulled his father into an awkward hug, patting him on the shoulder before he stepped back. We'll talk later.
Whenever you like, said Robert. I've got all the time in the world.
Alec waved to his dad, then ran up the steps of his building. He opened the door and bounded up his stairs to find Lily alone. The door of his loft was open a crack, light filtering through, but Lily was standing in the shadows and appeared to be filing her nails.
Lily, Alec said dangerously, where is Raphael?
Oh, him?
Lily shrugged.
He heard Magnus singing some Indonesian lullaby and he bolted inside. Nothing I could do.
Shadowhunters, they're speedy.
Neither of them mentioned Magnus's wards, which couldn't be forced by any magic or any strength Alec knew of. Magnus didn't have wards up for anyone defenseless, anyone who might need his help. Of course a child could go through. Alec fixed her with a reproachful glare, but was distracted by the deep, lovely murmur of Magnus's voice through the open door. His tone was warm and, as it often was, amused. Alec thought of Jem telling Tessa, Your voice is the music I love best in all the world.
Ah, there's that smile, said Lily. It's been 2 days and I missed it.
Alec stopped smiling and made a face at her, but when he looked at her properly, she was fiddling with the zip of her leather jacket.
There was something about the set of her mouth, as if she had said it determinedly so it wouldn't tremble.
Thanks for coming with me, Alec said.
Also, you're the worst.
That made her smile. Lily wiggled her fingers in farewell.
Don't you forget it.
She slipped away like a shadow, and Alec opened the door and stepped inside his apartment at last. His coffee machine was on the counter. His cat was sleeping on the sofa. There was a door standing open to a room he'd never seen before, which happened sometimes at his place. The room inside had golden brown floorboards and whitewashed walls. Magnus was standing in the room, with Rafe beside him. Magnus was wearing a red and gold silk robe, and Rafe's face was tipped up to watch Magnus as he produced a low, soothing stream of Spanish. It was a beautiful room. Alec realized Magnus knew he was there because Magnus started translating what he was saying into rapid English, switching between languages with fluid ease so everybody knew what was going on.
Let's put away the cross for now and talk about organized religion later, said Magnus, snapping his fingers at the crucifix on the wall. And let's have a window and let the light in. Do you like this one?
He gestured easily to the wall, and a circular window opened up onto their street, showing a tree catching the moon. Then he gestured again, and the window was red and gold-stained glass.
Or this one.
Magnus waved a third time, and the window was arched and tall as a church window.
Or this one.
Rafe was nodding and nodding, his face wreathed in eager smiles. Magnus smiled down at him.
Want me to just keep doing magic?
Rafe nodded again, even more vehemently. Magnus laughed and set a hand on Rafe's curly head. Alec was about to warn Raphael was shy at first and would duck away, but Rafe didn't. He let Magnus stroke his hair, the rings on Magnus's hand catching the light through their new window. Magnus's smile went from gleaming to glowing. He met Alec's eyes over Rafe's head.
I've been getting to know Rafe, said Magnus.
He told me that was what he liked to be called. We've been doing up a bedroom for him, see?
I do, said Alec.
Rafe, said Magnus.
Raphael, do you have a last name?
Rafe shook his head.
That's all right. We have two.
How would you feel about a middle name? Would you like one? Rafe broke into a stream of Spanish. From all the nodding, Alec was fairly sure he was agreeing.
Alec said. We probably need to talk.
Magnus laughed.
Oh, do you think so? Excuse us for a minute, Rafe.
He moved toward Alec, then stopped short. Rafe's hands were clenched hard on the edge of Magnus's robe. Magnus looked startled. Rafe burst out crying. Magnus cast Alec a wild glance, then ran his hands distractedly through his own hair. Between torrential sobs, Raphael began to eke out words.
Alec couldn't speak Raphael's language, but he understood nonetheless.
Don't let me see you, and then have to go away into the loneliness that is the world without you. Please, please keep me. I'll be good, if you would just keep me.
Alec started forward, but before he was even in the room, Magnus dropped to his knees and touched the child's face with tender hands. All trace of tears disappeared with a shimmer of magic.
Hush, said Magnus. Don't cry. Yes, of course we will, my darling.
Rafe put his face down onto Magnus's shoulder and sobbed his heart out. Magnus patted his shaking back until he was quiet.
I'm sorry, Magnus said at last, and rocked Rafe in the curve of one red silk arm. I really do need to talk to Alec. I'll be right back, I promise you.
He stood and tried to move forward, then cast a rueful glance downward. Rafe was still holding on to his robe.
He's very determined, Alec explained.
So, completely unlike any other shadow hunters of my acquaintance then, said Magnus, and swept off his robe.
Underneath, he was wearing a tunic shirt shimmering with gold thread, and loose ratty gray sweatpants.
Are those sweatpants mine?
Yes, said Magnus. I missed you.
Oh, said Alec.
Magnus settled the robe around Rafe's shoulders, wrapping him up so he was a red silk cocoon with a startled face on top. Then Magnus knelt down by Rafe again and lifted Raphael's hands in his, holding them together. Inside Rafe's cupped palms, a tiny fountain of glitter leaped in a shining loop. Rafe gave a hiccuping laugh, full of surprised delight.
There, you like magic, don't you? Keep your hands together and it will keep going, Magnus murmured, then made his escape while Rafe was watching the fountain.
Alec took Magnus's hand, pulling him out of the new room into the main loft and through into their bedroom. He shut the door and said,
I can explain.
I think I might understand already, Alexander, said Magnus.
You were away a day and a half, and you adopted us another kid. What happens if you go away for a week?
I didn't mean to, said Alec. I wasn't going to do anything without asking you, only he was there and he's a shadow hunter and nobody was looking after him. So I thought I could take him to the Institute here or to Alicante.
Magnus had been smiling, but now he stopped. Alec felt even more alarmed.
We're not adopting him? Magnus asked.
But can't we?
Alec blinked.
I thought we were, Magnus said. Alec, I promised him. Do you not want to?
Alec stared at him for another instant. Magnus's face was tense, intent but confused at the same time, as if Magnus was baffled by his own vehemence. Suddenly, Alec was laughing. He thought he was waiting to be sure, yet this was better, as all the best things in his life were better than any dream that had come before. Not Alec knowing right away, but seeing Magnus know right away. It was so sweet and so obvious that this was exactly the way things should be. Seeing Magnus experience the instant instinctive love as Alec had with Max. As Alec learned with Raphael the slow, sweet, and conscious way of love that Magnus had learned with Max. Opening a new door in their familiar beloved home, as if it had always been there.
Yes, Alec said, breathless with laughter and love. Yes, I want to.
Magnus's smile returned. Alec pulled him into his arms, then turned so Magnus had his back to the wall. Alec cupped Magnus's face in both hands.
Give me a minute, Alec said. Let me look at you. God, I missed home.
Magnus's fascinating eyes were narrowed slightly, watching Alec back, and his smiling mouth was a little startled as it often was, though what surprised him, Alec didn't know. Alec couldn't just look at him. He kissed him, and that mouth was against his own, the kiss making every tired muscle in Alec's body turn to liquid sweetness. To Alec, love always meant this, his shining city of eternal light, the land of lost dreams reclaimed, his first kiss and his last. Magnus's arms went around him.
My Alec, Magnus murmured. Welcome home.
Now when Alec asked himself, is this how you want to live your whole life? Alec could answer yes, and yes, and yes. Every kiss was the answer yes, and the question he would get to ask Magnus someday. They kissed up against the bedroom wall for long, bright moments. Then both stepped away from the other with a wrench. The, Alec began. Kids, Magnus finished. Later. Wait, the kids plural? Asked Alec, and then became aware of what Magnus had heard. The stealthy sound of tiny feet exiting Max's room.
That hell-born brat, Magnus muttered. I read him 8 stories.
Magnus!
What? I can call him that. It's you who can't call him that because it's infernally insensitive.
Magnus grinned, then squinted at his own stained hand.
Alec, I know you don't really care about your clothes, but you don't usually come home covered in soot.
Better see to the kids, said Alec, ducking out of the bedroom and the conversation. In the main room was Max, in his Triceratops footy pajamas and dragging his fuzzy blankie, regarding Rafe with wide eyes. Rafe stood on the woven rug before the fireplace, wrapped in Magnus's red silk robe, his eyes narrowed into the death stare that had frightened the other kids at the shadow market. Max, who had never felt threatened by anything in his life, smiled guilelessly up at him. Rafe's scowl faltered. Max turned at the opening of the door. He padded swiftly over to Alec, and Alec knelt down to embrace him.
Daddy, Daddy, Max caroled. This is a brother or a sister.
Raphael's eyebrows went up. He said something quickly in Spanish.
Not a sister, Magnus translated from the door.
Max, this is Rafe. Say hi. Max clearly took this as confirmation. He patted Alec's shoulder as if to say, great job, Dad. Finally, you deliver the goods. Then he turned back to Rafe.
What are you, werewolf?
Max guessed. Rafe glanced at Magnus, who translated.
He says he's a shadow hunter.
Max beamed.
Daddy's a shadow hunter. I'm a shadow hunter, too.
Rafe regarded Max's horns with an air suggesting, can you believe this guy? He shook his head firmly and attempted to explain the situation.
He says you're a warlock, Magnus translated faithfully, and that this is a very good thing to be, because it means you can do magic, and magic is cool and pretty.
Magnus paused.
Which is so true.
Max's face screwed up in rage.
I'm a shadow hunter!
Rafe waved a hand, his attitude one of deep impatience.
All right, my blue-ringed octopus, Magnus interposed hastily. Let's continue this debate tomorrow, shall we?
Everybody needs sleep. Rafe has had a long day, and it is incredibly past your bedtime.
I'll read you a story, Alec promised.
Max dropped his fury as swiftly as he'd assumed it. His blue brows knit. He seemed to be thinking deeply.
No bed, he argued. Stay up! Be with Rafe!
He sidled up to a stunned-looking Raphael and gave him a big hug.
Love him.
Rafe hesitated, then hugged Max shyly back. The sight of them made Alec's chest hurt. He cast a glance at Magnus, who had an equally smitten expression.
It's a special occasion, Alec pointed out. I was never very good at discipline anyway, said Magnus, and threw himself down beside the kids on the rug.
Rafe edged closer, and Magnus looped an arm around him. Rafe cuddled up.
How about you tell us all a bedtime story about what happened in Buenos Aires?
It wasn't that exciting, Alec said. Other than, I found Rafe, I missed you, I came home. That's it. We'll have to go back and forth to Buenos Aires a few times to finalize the adoption, before we can make it official and tell everyone. Maybe we can all go together sometime.
Rafe said several swift sentences in Spanish.
Is that so? Asked Magnus. How extremely interesting. What are you saying? Alec asked Rafe anxiously.
You aren't getting away with this one, Alec Lightwood, Magnus pointed at him. Not this time. I have a spy.
Alec went over to the rug, knelt down, and made earnest eye contact with Rafe.
Rafe, he said, please don't be a spy.
Rafe gave Alec a look of firm incomprehension and burst into a torrent of Spanish for Magnus. Alec was certain at least some of it was Rafe promising to be a spy anytime Magnus wanted.
"Sounds like you did some pretty impressive things in Buenos Aires," said Magnus at last. "A lot of people would have given up. What were you thinking?"
Alec picked Max up, tipped him upside down, then sideways, then returned him to the rug, grinning when Max crowed with laughter.
"All I did was think about being worthy of coming home to you," said Alec. "It was nothing much."
There was a silence. Alec turned, a little concerned, to find Magnus staring at him. That surprised look was on his face again, and there was a softness along with it that was rare for Magnus.
"What?" said Alec.
"Nothing, you stealth romance attacker," Magnus said.
"How do you always know what to say?"
He leaned forward easily, keeping Rafe held comfortably against him to give Alec a kiss on the jaw. Alec smiled. Rafe was studying Max, who seemed gratified Rafe was taking an interest.
"If you want to be a shadow hunter," said Raphael in careful English, "you have to train."
"No, Rafe," said Alec. "Max doesn't need to train."
"I train," said Max.
Alec shook his head. His baby was a warlock. He would train Rafe, but Max didn't need to learn any of that. He looked to Magnus for backup, but Magnus was hesitating, his lip caught between his teeth.
"Magnus!"
"Max wants to be just like you," Magnus said.
"I can understand that. Are we going to tell him he can't be whatever he wants to be?"
"He's not..." Alec began and stopped.
"There's nothing to say a warlock couldn't physically fight," said Magnus. "Using magic to substitute for shadow hunter attributes. It might keep him safe, because people don't expect a warlock to be trained that way. It wouldn't hurt to try. Besides, we found Max on the steps of Shadow Hunter Academy. Someone might have wanted him to have shadow hunter training."
Alec hated the idea, but he'd thought, hadn't he, that he wished he could train a kid? He had promised himself he would never be the kind of father who made the walls of home feel like a trap. If you love somebody, you trusted them.
"All right," said Alec. "I guess it wouldn't hurt to show them a few ways to stand and fall. Might get them tired enough for bedtime."
Magnus grinned and snapped his fingers. Practice mats suddenly covered the floor. Max scrambled to his feet. Rafe, head pillowed against Magnus's chest, seemed uninterested until Magnus nudged him gently, but then he got up willingly enough.
"Maybe I can teach Rafe a few magic tricks as well," Magnus mused. "He can't be a warlock any more than Max can be a shadow hunter, but there are magicians around. He might be a very good one."
Alec recalled a story about a magician with shadow hunter blood, known as Roland the Astonishing, who had lived a long, happy life with his best beloved. He thought of the market and the institute mingling in the streets of Buenos Aires, of Jem and Tessa, of love and trust in a changing world, and showing his sons they could be anything they wanted, including happy. He rose and walked to the center of the room.
"Boys, follow the moves I make," said Alec. "Stand with me now. All together."
Ghosts of the Shadow Market, Book 7, The Land I Lost, was written by Cassandra Clare and Sarah Rees-Brennan, and read by Melissa Fumero. It was recorded in Los Angeles by Julian Nicholson and Eric Cifuentes at the Invisible Studios, and by Rick Dasher at Dave and Dave. Editing and post-production by Frog Pond Productions. Terry Hogan was the mix engineer. The associate producers were Aaron Larson and Elliot Rombach. Ghosts of the Shadow Market, Book 7, The Land I Lost, was produced and directed by Christina Zarafanidis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Also by Cassandra Clare from Simon & Schuster Audio. Ghosts of the Shadow Market. Book 6. The Wicked Ones. Read by Emily Bett Rickards.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.